This is a production of Cornell University.
All right, everyone. It is 4:47 and we're calling this meeting to order. It is November 6th, so you can put your agenda in the November part of your binder. How convenient. Whenever Chelsea's ready, could you please call the roll?
Here.
Excuse.
Goldman.
Here.
Henderson.
Here.
Johnson.
Hawson.
Cesaro. Lee. Andrew,
Lisa Lynn. Is Diana not here? Wait, did you say? Okay.
Here.
Ryan.
Excuse.
Brian.
Excuse. Here. Unexcused.
Also, Rihanna Lofton.
And Diana Lee is unexcused. Lisa spoke for her accidentally. Diana's not here, right? So we have five, I think, absent.
Awesome. First thing on our agenda is approval of the October 30th, 2014 meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
There's a motion to approve on the floor. There's a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, I'm going to ask that we approve the minutes by unanimous consent. If there's any dissent to that, please let me know now. Seeing none, the minutes are approved by unanimous consent. We are going to skip over President Sporton until 6 p.m., just so you all know. And the first thing on our agenda is open microphones.
Hello to everyone in the audience that does not know. Open microphone is a chance for any members of the community to bring forward an issue or concern to the student assembly. If you'd like to do so, please come forward to the table and state your name and year. And looking at the audience, looks like we see none, so we're going to move past open microphone.
Next on our agenda is announcements and reports. Our first announcement is by Hotel Representative Yang.
Okay,
great. Next is Rep. Gudemski.
So we had our first FAMC meeting this past Sunday, basically soliciting how we get the word out about application, which is due November 17th. We're targeting the classes, clubs, and visitors as well as Facebook. What we need you all to do is kind of tell all your constituents as well as your own community partner about this opportunity. We have a blurb back and forth to listeners that you can send out to various organizations. But we just need a large volume of applications so we get the best idea after the application.
Next is VP Stefanko.
Yeah, I'll just quickly reiterate what Brianna had to say. I think that before I jump to the reports, it's a really great opportunity, up to $75,000. So especially if you have ideas or if you know people who have ideas to improve campus life, this is a really kind of once in a lifetime, once in essay, history sort of thing. I think you should get involved. But just to go through the reports, we saw the International Students Board and class councils. The International Students Board, as Siobhan will be bringing up in the next few weeks, is looking to transform themselves into an international students union. So we've had a lot of conversations about what that would look like, and you'll be seeing more of that with constitution changes. So if you're interested in getting involved with that sort of transformation and that development, we're looking at changing the constitution right now. So if you're interested, let either Siobhan or I know. Also, we saw class councils. We saw really market improvement in that organization over the past year, and it's just now about making sure that the changes that they've been making are codified in their constitution and making sure everything's set up there. Next Monday, we will be seeing Cornell Concert Commission, Slow State Programming Board, and Cornell University Programming Board. So if you are interested in any of those organizations, you can attend the meeting on Monday and just let me know. Thanks.
Now we're going to move into our business of the day. The first resolution on our agenda is Resolution 24. So you guys have up to 4 minutes to get everything started.
Okay, we can meet all the time. So this is Resolution 24, the attendance policy charter changes that we talked about last week. And so to reiterate, this is changing from a current policy where someone reaches three cumulative absences or three consecutive absences from regularly scheduled meetings or six cumulative absences, they lose their seat automatically on the essay, which leads to the process for filling vacancies, which could either be going to runner-up, soliciting new candidates, or holding a special election. So just to reiterate from last week, we looked at a couple alternatives, and we thought that this one was the best, the simplest, and it reflected the current practices that this assembly has done for several years. And I think that speaks to how this is a pretty simple and easy fix, and something that we're already good at working with. One change I did want to do from how the resolution is printed right now, we made an amendment last week, and looking at it afterwards, there were some inconsistencies in grammar, so we showed some new language, which I'm going to motion to amend right now. For line 23, we're starting on line 22, or line 22, it reads, "Whoever six regularly scheduled meetings cumulatively during their term." And so starting at that point, I'd like to strike from the comma, the strike comma will lose their right to vote and their position will be considered vacated. So strike that entire sentence and replace it with "will have their position vacated." And so, yeah, so I motion to amend that language to reflect "will have their position vacated." And so the whole thing should read, "Any voting members who are absent for three consecutive regularly scheduled meetings or for six regularly scheduled meetings cumulatively during their term will have their position vacated." And this is coming off of what we talked about last week from Representative Coffin, and so I motion to amend.
Great. So there's an amendment on the floor. So if anyone would like to discuss that amendment, please raise your placard so I can put you on the speaker's list. Otherwise, are there any motions regarding this amendment? There's been a motion to vote. Is there a second? All right. So we're going to do a placard vote on this. If you would like to approve of the amendment as proposed by Matt, please raise your placard. Mm-hmm. If you are opposed, please raise your glasses. If you'd like to abstain, please raise your placard. So by a vote of 22-0-0, Fifth Amendment passes.
And so I think that wraps up everything that we have, and now that the text reflects everything we were hoping for it to be in terms of how it's going to be practiced in the future. So pretty much this is just like reflecting our current practices. We haven't taken any questions at this point. There weren't any questions for if there's any questions or concerns about it.
First is Rep. Acker. All right. So there is a motion to the vote. There's a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we can go right into a vote. But first, Jordan, will you clarify how we're voting on this?
Resolution 24 is a charter change. It will require 2/3 vote of the voting membership of the entire cast.
Great. So if you are in favor of this resolution as written, please raise your placard. If you are opposed to the resolution as written, please raise your placard. If you would like to abstain, please raise your placard. By a vote of 21-1-0, the motion does pass. Thank you guys very much for your time. Now we can move on to the next part of our agenda, which is Resolution 25, if the sponsors would like to go to the floor. So you guys also have 4 minutes to reintroduce and summarize.
As you remember from last week, this is Resolution number 25, Fostering Investigation of the Border System. The subject of the issue is what is called the Border System.
Although what you're asking for, Border System is broken down into four quarters about the action. First quarter begins with an orientation to go to the fall break, approximately. And in that quarter, freshmen are allowed to contact with the attorney and members. In the second quarter, the results from fall break and the first academic semester, freshmen are allowed to be in contact with fraternities and their members who decide to have their houses to be allowed to offer. The third quarter, which is the result of the front week, which is the four classes, through as actually the fourth school week of the academic semester, freshmen partake in new member education, new member education process, and a culminating with mediation. The fourth quarter,
so with the quarter system, we've gotten this trend of students are going into unregulated environments. So what exactly is an unregulated environment? So in these unregulated environments, usually in college towns, there's no scope of monitors, there is the presence of hard alcohol, there's no pay use washers, and none of these policies that the IFC, the NCLC, and the Atlantic Councils pursue, none of those policies have to be followed because they're not associated with any group-wide organization. But now I'd like to go into the policies that the NCLC, the Atlantic Council, and the IFC do promote and they do enforce. So first we'll go into eligibility. So to be eligible to have an open house, you have to be in good standing with the university and the hospital sorority, training sorority, and independent living. You have to have a presentation for the entire chapter, whether that's your fraternity or your sorority, from the Cornell University EMS. You also have a presentation on sexual assault and bystander intervention, either from Consent Ed and the Resource Center or within 101. And then, in terms of how the event is managed, As I just mentioned earlier, there needs to be one sober monitor for 20 guests. How you guys watch your service has to be present. You guys don't know what that is. In addition to sober monitor, there are 8 employees that are at every event monitoring to see if everyone's okay, to see if anyone's too intoxicated, and so on. And then freshmen and all guests under 21 have to have an act in their hand. And then there's also the presence of snacks for students that who appear too intoxicated. The sober monitors are great watchers will give them a snack. And all in all, we think that health enforcement, this is a regulated investment, and we think that these are obviously great policies if we don't think that we can help students, especially freshmen who attend these parties, but if parties are switched off campus in an unregulated environment, none of these policies are pursued, so it could lead to student health issues and not college related.
One of the statistics I saw that I was going to share with you guys, a recent survey was conducted of all fraternity members, and it found that 92% of them attended events in college after orientation week, and that their biggest reason for doing so was the need to socialize with freshmen. So that number is pretty alarming to me. It shows that these events are occurring regardless of the quarter system right now. Whether that's a fraternity or
10 seconds. Motion to extend by 2 minutes.
Second.
All right, I'm going to allow you guys to talk for 2 minutes.
Whether attorneys are hosting them or not. And I also think it's very important that none of these offices being supervised right now as was said involve any form of regulation. So you can be in a party that the only thing that they're serving is hard alcohol. At regulated Japanese offered events, the only alcohol that can be served is beer and wine who were 21 years old.
And then just to add, so since last week, I reached out to a bunch of students from the Iraq, so we checked out all 4 Iraq, as well as the members of the e-board and the Defendant Student Assembly. I also reached out to the president of MCLC and the president of Panhouse, and they're all supportive, as well as the liaison on TV. She was very supportive after I made some changes. And with that, I'd like to make an amendment to the resolution regarding a motion to amend resolution regarding the composition. So I reached out to a bunch of reps, and they all, most of which said that they were concerned about the composition, and I think that's a totally legitimate concern. And we'd like to amend. So at line 31, so it would read, maintain equal representation among Greek and non-Greek members to be co-chaired by a member of the student assembly and member of the Greek tri council, and contain at least one freshman and at least one member of each tri council body, which are the fraternity council, headline council, and the MGL. And instead of maintaining educated representation.
Chelsea, did you get that? Did everyone else get that? Can you repeat it one more time?
So, in a member of the Greek Tri Council and represent at least one freshman, at least one member of each Tri Council body, which are the IFC, the Planning Council, and the MGLC.
Great. So, there is a formal amendment on the floor. We can go into discussion on the amendment. If anyone would like to talk about the amendment only and not the resolution as a whole, I can put you on the speaker's list on the amendment. First is Representative Chack.
Hi, so I'm
coming
to the panel you guys are doing right now, but shouldn't you guys also consider for a reference so that they could actually present how they feel about the
speaking to the mic more,
so
speaking to the mic.
Yeah. So, shouldn't you guys also consider having a non-Greek representative?
Yes, so within the Constitution of the Council, of the committee, there has to be equal representation of Greek and non-Greek.
Yeah, but you guys are saying that there should be a representative from the member of the Greek Tri Council?
Yes.
But shouldn't you also have a rep that's also non-Greek?
Let me guess,
right? Yeah.
think that's great. But I think that the member, the person that's running the committee and that wants to serve the committee should be passionate about the issue, whether they're agreed or not agreed. I think there's plenty of representation from not agreed with capable competition. And just for the Tri Council, the court system doesn't just affect the issue for Trinity Council, so with regards to that, we really feel that it's important to represent all three bodies if it's relevant to all three.
Next is Erin Liu. So next is Representative Tickham.
Hi, I just wanted to ask you this is a resolution, but I do have a couple of questions. So first of all, is this a that we're looking to be born, that we're looking to be born, but that is in the funding committee, and if not, then how will you find members to comprise the committee?
So I would say because it's coming from the purview of the student assembly, it's one of our duties as student assembly to perform this investigation. It will be a student assembly committee. With regard to how it's comprised, how we reach out to the student body, that'll be totally up to the student chair. And I won't be one of them, so it's up to them once they come to inform the committee.
Yes.
Are we debating the resolution or are we debating the resolution?
I was just about to clarify that. We are. Great. We were discussing the amendment, just so you know. But now that there's a motion to vote on the amendment itself, is there any dissent? All right. So you have 30 seconds to explain your dissent, and then we're going to go into voting. Great. So we don't withdraw motions anymore. So if you guys want to hear what Joseph has to say, you have to vote no on the amendment, and then we'll go back into discussion. Great. So everyone who is in favor of the amendment as written, please raise your placard. There's no vote. If you are not, please raise your placard. If you'd like to abstain, please raise your placard. So by a vote of 5-14-1, we can go back into discussion on the amendment and we can vote on it later. So I'm going to continue on with our speakers list. Remember, we are just talking about amendments. Representative Fridman.
Can you get to the mic, please? Sorry about that. I'd like to follow up a bit on what Representative Liu was speaking about, which is the importance of the Consensus Committee. Keep in mind that only our members of the attorney system are sorority or affected by the support system, and so are any other forces of the social life. I think that there is some merit to the suggestion that a senior assembly representative serving on the committee that would be serving as working as a liaison, which is information, which is work, back and forth, should be able to summarize views that maybe the other person may be involved in, if that's a reasonable request. But I also think that it's important to keep in mind that there are other organized groups that the university supports, like a lot. that are affected by prohibition on socializing, but you guys mentioned have all these other effects. So I guess in debating an amendment, I make a friendly amendment for you guys to include other groups from not really the problems to what degree the problem is affected by the board.
To the best of my knowledge, co-ops aren't governed by the Tri-Council. I think that's independent living. So the co-op system doesn't fall under IFC and now I'm in GLC. So I didn't even think about co-ops while we're governing the board.
Great. Next on our speakers list is DC Bhandari.
So I know you mentioned that there was going to be a president that was included up the meeting. I was wondering how many people were elected, which means that there was very little pressure and just know entirely a lot about this person's report, but obviously, you know, for the rest of the United States, it's just like the level of communication to that. So, how are you selecting the president that was deserving of the committee, and then what level of training is like, if you have the level of training that that's provided, that they have that's going to be a lot of
So I think I really rely on the support of our freshman reps to be as a freshman, whether that's like online Facebook promoting or going through listers, making sure as many freshmen know about the position as possible. And then with like training, getting them up to date, obviously not a lot of freshmen know about the current system. I know I do. I think that's up to the chair to really get them up to date, to get them knowledgeable about it. And I think when we promote the position, we can also get a little blurred about the board system, maybe like a link to the description of the board system, so they know if they're signing up for it.
Representative Compton.
So I was going to propose, not really propose here, to say that if the board system mainly affects freshmen, maybe there should be more freshmen on the committee. So I know that it affects all students on campus, but if the purpose of the quarter system is to impact how fraternities and sororities deal with freshmen, I can understand why freshmen should have a bigger say in the committee. Or how do you feel about that?
By no means all freshmen will actually so being that the primary conversation is what the class is getting the quarter before and now having better understanding of what it does, I think that's better for investigating how it's been implemented over the past 3 years. Granted that it's been in place since 2011, how can we look at that?
Next is Liaison Vitalia.
Just a quick question. I know you said a lot about who's on it, but have you said any administrators that they want to serve on it? Because it's my experience with the committee. Having a voice from the administration, even if you have one, lends credibility and lends perspective where you'll push a report out by administration and say, oh, we've already done this, or we're already dealing with it. So you do not go to me and rebooting or redoubling the work that's already been tackled or passed out.
I think the administration and the office of attorneys are really main related administrators have made their support system pretty clear. But I think I'd like it to be a student independent project, and then maybe throughout the research, if we need data from them or if we want to hear their opinion further, then I really think that they should be on that committee. I think it'd be kind of productive in the fact that we're trying to get the student body's opinion and see how it affects the students and other administrators.
Next is Brad Pajarwa.
Just want to comment on the co-op system. So co-ops are specific between alcohol and depression, getting intoxicated, and even like, trying to go to bars. Just trying to find like, whatever the release stress or have a good time to do whatever, rejoice in the plan, whatever the care. Co-ops are equally at fault as fraternities. I like both, I like co-ops and fraternities, but co-ops are, I know they're independent, they have a system of discrimination. which was a level of cycling. I think the goals, I know, I think 660 through a long track all have this cycling. They have a list that they need to post bodies and, you know, obviously cycling extensions. We have to address that as a player of our regulations. Is there anything you can start with the co-op situation? If our jurisdiction is not, if we have no jurisdiction for the co-ops, then we can raise an issue about it. I think that's the independent body. I don't know how the co-ops actually work.
Yeah, I was going to ask just a quick point of information, whether or not Sarah knows if cooperatives operate under the quarter system.
Is
this specifically addressing that?
So I think if we wanted to discuss
it. Yeah, I was going to say no, but if you'd like to elaborate, go for it.
Yeah, so this is just for the quarter system, which definitely is a replay. I think that's a totally relevant concern, and we want to come up with another sort of resolution regarding the cooperative methods, but I just want to focus on pre-selection and the quarter system and how it affects non-replay.
Next is Representative Alicom. Yeah, so you want me to clarify what the staffing committee is?
Yeah.
The staffing committee is a conglomerate of all of the committee chairs of the student assembly. Most of the people are on the executive board, and together we go through the applications, and with the VPI who chairs that committee, we go through the applications for all committees, and that's how we decide what community members and student assembly members get slated onto committees that they weren't necessarily voted for during our internal elections. Does that make sense?
So in respect to having a proper protocol, I think that you then decide
who you're on. We don't have much knowledge of the staffing committee besides what President Dowling just said. I think they're really knowledgeable about the concept of staffing people on the committees, and I think that the staffing committee would be body in mind and as close as it is.
Yes,
for sure. What has the student assembly in the past when we wanted to do, another committee, if we wanted to do an environmental committee, for a period of time, the staffing committee to do a government committee as well, or how does that work?
You mean for ad hoc committees? So for ad hoc committees, I think it's kind of varied. So in some cases, the staffing committee did play a role where there was an application process. There were some other ad hoc committees that were formed my freshman year, and I'm honestly not sure if the staffing committee was involved. But I do know, for example, the College Town Student Council, which was an ad hoc committee last year, was staffed through staffing. Great. So we are going to continue on our speakers list. Next is Liaison to Zarashvili.
So thank you, Dr. Janoff. I really appreciate it. So I'm the liaison of the legislature in Congress. Together with Levine, we have representatives from all different employees as well as Lexington and Colorado. So we actually had a discussion about the court system this past Monday that we were talking about the President's Council on Alcohol and Hating. It was mostly for that question of what is the court system. Almost no one there except for upper class knew what he was. and all the students expressed concern that they didn't know what this was, but by breaking the rules inadvertently. So, what I'm trying to get at is that through RIC, I think that there's a lot of people right now that are very invested in this issue, they want to do something about it, or they want to learn more about it. So, if you're having trouble finding correction, I know we just had this discussion on the staff committee, we could definitely use it in that respect. And I definitely think that this does mean that I'm getting students standing up for something. So, my two cents.
In response to that, I think that is one of the issues that freshmen and Greek members and non-Greek members alike don't know what it is that they don't know when they're classified as Greek.
Awesome. So just a reminder, we're still on the amendment. If you've already spoken on the amendment, I have put you on the second speaker's list for the amendment.
Motion to call the question on the amendment. Second.
So there's been a motion to call the question on the amendment. There's been a second. Is there any dissent to this? You can't actually do two motions at once. So, guys, bring it back. So the way this works is we have to vote on the outcome of this amendment before we can address the next amendment. So there was a motion to vote on the amendment as it was written and explained by Blake earlier, and we are going to continue to vote in that manner unless there is dissent. Okay, so you have 30 seconds to explain your dissent. Your time's up. So, just to clarify again, when you're dissenting on a motion to vote, it's usually a reason why we shouldn't vote yet, not an argument. I'm sorry I didn't make that clear before. If you would like to continue discussing what is on the floor, then you should vote no rather than dissenting. If your dissent is that there are others that have things to speak and you agree with that, I'm going to ask that you vote now to decide whether we are going to continue speaking on this amendment or we go straight into a vote, just like we did a few minutes ago. So if you are in favor of voting on the resolution as is and not continuing discussion, please raise your placard. So this is essentially a vote to vote, but I know that term was confusing people, so I'm trying to explain what that means. It means if you're ready to vote on this amendment as it's written, and you're willing to end discussion to do that, please raise your placard.
Is that including the amendment?
Yes. So we're.
Yes. So this is the amendment that you. Yeah, this is just the amendment that you presented at the beginning. Got it? So, if that's what you want, please raise your placard. If you are opposed to voting on this right now, meaning that you want to continue discussion on the amendment, please raise your placard. If you would like to abstain, please raise your placard. By a vote of 8-13-0, we are going to continue on our discussion of this amendment. And just to remind you guys, if you want to propose a new amendment, an additional amendment, a change to this amendment, we are going to have to vote on this amendment as written, and you're going to have to be in opposition to it, and then you can propose the new one. Is that clear? I know that it's a lot of steps, but we have to take care of one thing before we move on to the next, and that's just how our charter is written. So,
can I get a response to that?
we're going to continue on the speakers list, and they can answer that concern in after two speakers. So first is Executive Vice President Batista.
Great. So regarding the amendment, I think that since this is an investigation, there aren't going to be votes, it's an investigation. So I think the language at least is going to be up to the discretion of the chairs. I'm putting my faith in the chairs as someone who's chaired an ad hoc committee. We did the staffing all by ourselves. I may suggest in the future that there's some sort of other be there for resolved about staffing to resolve this issue that other people are talking about. But in terms of the composition, it looks like it's pretty good. It covers all the relevant Greek parties and non-Greek parties. It says at least, so there can be more than one. It's not restricting you. I think it's pretty straightforward.
Great. So I'm going to have, we're going to go back to the 2-1 thing. So I am going to ask that community member Weisbrod go before you guys respond.
The reason we're having to discuss this amendment for so long is because composition really isn't the only problem. What we really need to do is you guys need to vote down the amendment and then table this and suggest that it go to the Community Rights Committee where they can work out the rest of the change. They can do footwork on this. You know, they could make progress on this outside of the committee right now. They've got like one bare statistic in order to actually deal with, the COVID trend. The trends might exist. They don't have proof that they exist. The issue here is this particular amendment. It's that absolutely no work has been done on that. And we're passing something, we're looking for something really rigid. Vote no on the amendment, just vote the table, and recommend that it go to Community Life Committee. Thank you.
Next, you can go, yeah.
So with regards to no work being done on this resolution, I've spoken to all freshman representatives who represent the entire freshman body. They represented the needs of 3,300 students. I think that's a sizable amount of work. I've also reached out to the presidents of all of the Greek government bodies, and they also supported it. So I think that's a lot of work that's been done, and I think I know the opinion of the pulse of the student body. And I want to know even more. I don't really see an issue in passing a resolution that seeks to gain more knowledge about a system that may be working, but may not be, and trying to prove that it may not be. Consequences that I went through pretty explicitly, just like 20 minutes ago. So I don't see any harm in passing a resolution that just gives more power to the student body to question a law that was passed by the administration. I think you have a voice in this, just because it does affect all students.
The biggest thing here is that it happens with it. And I think that that's extremely concerning, that there's actually some kind of consequence that could exist, and that is all of a sudden we need to call for it, looking to those more. It should have been done 2 years ago. It should have been done 3 years ago. As soon as it was passed, I don't think we need to do it really in the trial, because this really does cost too much.
If you guys want to address the other concerns that were brought up to you, I think you still have the majority of a minute to do that.
So to address Ben's point, I think having the freshman opinion is really important. But I totally agree with Juliana that I think we all agree that the freshman opinion is really important, and the person from the student assembly that is going to be a co-chair of the committee, I would really hope and I would expect would really value the freshman opinion. So that would mean putting more emphasis on freshmen. I don't think it's necessarily and that we need to have that the amendment constitution that is the resolution for the composition. I think the composition is pretty perfect.
Next is VP Stabenko.
Perfect.
Okay, so first I'll kind of address Matthew's point, and then I'll move into kind of where this is going. So I do think that this is not something that should just kick back to CLC. I think that CLC has, first of all, a lot of work going on already that makes that, like, the finding out of these facts, the things that need to be determined by the committee or whatever this needs to be done within this committee, and not this fact-finding that Matthew's kind of proposing shouldn't be done to CLC. I think Emma can maybe touch on it a little bit more, but there's a significant amount of work that's already going on there, and that, like, adding on that kind of work doesn't make a lot of sense. So moving forward, I think that there are amendments that people want to make, and I think that there's amendments, and these amendments are things that Blake and Spencer are going to find friendly, or that we're going to change the amendment that is currently written. There's some additional amendments that want to be made. So what we need to do is we need to allow this amendment to be voted on. We need to vote against this amendment because there's other changes that want to be made regarding the composition. And then we will discuss those changes, propose a comprehensive amendment that addresses the way that this is composed. And then once we make those amendments, we can vote on that amendment that has a more established composition change. So I think that's what needs to happen. I think there's been some confusion regarding that. So I am going to motion to vote on the amendment.
Second.
So there's been a motion to vote. There's been a second. Is there any dissent on voting right now? Seeing none, we are going to vote on the amendment as proposed. So if you want to propose another amendment, you should probably vote no. Great. If you are in favor of voting on this amendment as written, please raise your placard. If you want it, raise your placard high. No one dissented. We are not voting to vote. We are just voting on the amendment exactly as written. If you want the amendment as written to go into the resolution, that's what we're voting on. Blake, would you like to read it one more time, please?
Yes, absolutely. So it was on line 32, so I'm going to begin on line 31. It says, and be co-chaired by a member of the student assembly and a member of the Greek Guide Council, and maintain at least one freshman, at least one member of each Guide Council body, which includes the IFC, NL, and MGLC.
Awesome. So now that everyone's clear on the amendment, we're going to just do the whole process of voting again. If you're in favor of having this amendment as written be part of the resolution, please raise your placard. And raise it high and don't move. Thanks. If you are opposed to the amendment as written, please raise your placard. If you would like to abstain, please raise your placard. Okay, if you want it, you got to keep it up. Great. By a vote of 14-7-1, the amendment does pass as written. If you would like to propose another amendment in addition to this amendment, that can be done at any time because you can always motion to amend even if you are not on the speaker's list. However, I am going to go back to the speaker's list on the resolution as a whole, and I'm going to start by going to the speaker's list that I began keeping last week because a lot of people did not get their opportunity to speak, and I know a lot of you wanted to speak. If you were not on that list, I will put you at the bottom. And then we can move on into a second speaker's list if you'd like to speak again. I'm going to propose that the way we do this is two FA members and then community member, and then you guys respond. I know that's a long time, but we do want to keep this moving. All right.
Is there a way to motion to amend without being on the
speaker's list? I just said that you can motion. Any motion can be made at any time.
You shouldn't interrupt people to say a motion, but you can motion to amend when you are not on the speaker's list. Yes. What is your motion?
Okay, we were just talking about representation. You guys think that the reason we should look at this is because it's an issue of public health, and we see a serious look at what's on the harm reduction, that there are these things going on structurally we have to, because all the freshmen do go out, they go to college staff, there's this great system for eligibility that's in place, we're not using it. Yes, so it seems like there's a really good, you guys say that like, what 90% of freshmen go to college staff for the purpose of socializing and meeting other freshmen. Right? So, I mean, that's literally where all the freshmen are. So it seems like there are a few things that we should do to make sure that we can address this adequately, quickly, with the right representation. So I recommend that we amend the final, be it finally resolved to include, a proportionate representation of freshmen in Vermont. So right now you have each representation among Greeks and non-Greeks. That should read among Greek, non-Greek students, and freshmen. There are also recommendations to include a liaison to the administrator. So be it, and an administrative liaison, which would be the administrative liaison. I also recommended somebody to work with co-ops. So I'm not sure if there's a governing body for co-ops, but there should be a liaison to the co-ops.
Okay, so I'm going to ask that you describe the formal language that you want to be written. If you're not ready for that yet, we can come back to it. Are you ready?
Okay. So using representation among Greek and non-Greek students and freshmen, right, so that can be interpreted as a third for each at least of these representations, and a student that would serve as administrative liaison, and a student to serve as liaison to the cooperative system.
That's a long sentence.
Kelsey, were you able to get all of that?
Cool.
Great. So now we can go into the speaker's list for Joseph's Amendment. If you would like to speak on Joseph's Amendment, please let me know. But before we even get into discussion on this, just so you guys know, because we are changing a part of an amendment that we already discussed and voted no on, that does mean that we need a two-thirds vote rather than a majority vote to pass this amendment. That's 15 people.
Wait, we passed one.
I meant that we passed it. Sorry. It doesn't matter whether we voted yes or no. What matters is that we voted on the last amendment. So now that means that even though we're doing this, we need a two-thirds. Does that make sense? Sorry. Great.
Can I add that the process should be undertaken by the staffing committee? Or at least have some representation from the staffing committee?
I mean...
Okay, yeah.
This is why we really need you to come up with the exact language first.
Yeah,
if you would like to repeat the entire thing, this is the last shot you get. Go.
No, I mean, it's just that, plus the staffing committee addresses all the previous. So it's just like a way to address the previous debate by having all the parts of the previous debate, right? But actually being able to.
You need the formal language so we can write it down.
And that this process be undertaken with input from the staff.
Kelsey, were you able to get that?
Thank you.
Yeah, so you need to repeat it to
the end.
You need to say the full amendment clearly.
Be undertaken with input from the staff.
Awesome. If you wanted to be on the speaker's list for this amendment, I missed a lot of your hands, so keep them high. And the first person I had was VP Stefanko, but keep them high so that I can write your names down. Keep them high so I can write your names down. I did not see you. Thank
yeah.
you.
Okay.
Well, you can't all raise your things and expect me to...
Okay. So, a couple of general comments, and I'm sorry if any of these come off as harsh, but first of all, I'm incredibly bothered by people being shocked at Sarah indicating what the rules of our charter and bylaws are. You should all understand what those are, and when she indicates that those are the procedures, you should not be shocked. You should follow them. You should have already known them in the first place. That's the first general comment. The second comment is I think the composition discussion is incredibly silly. This is a huge issue that hits a lot of different people, and we could compositionally debate this to an absolute death. But the fact of the matter is we have a process in place with the staffing committee that addresses these sorts of issues and puts the right sorts of people on these sorts of things. And these are members of the student assembly who are putting these people on because of what they are associated with. So yes, we could put in 20 different caveats of all these people that need to talk to the right administrators, but that is really going to get us nowhere, and we are going to be debating this thing for hours. So what I would propose is that I'm not in favor of this amendment, first of all. So I hope that we vote against this amendment. We can make a change if we want that says that this is going through the staffing committee. But I agree with Representative Ollie Kahn's statement that this should have probably just gone to the staffing committee in the first place. All these sorts of things, these discussions about proportion, are all discussions that we have on the staffing committee and things that we do already when we're staffing things like the Student Assembly Infrastructure Fund, which literally hits everybody on campus. We are having discussions that are like, is it okay to have these sorts of amounts of people? And I am really tired of the continual conversation about composition. I hope we vote against this amendment. I hope we go through our process like we normally do. And I hope we can get this thing moving and off the ground, because this is something that needs to be discussed. And I think we have the people that are writing this resolution that are doing this for the right reasons and are leading this in the right way. And those are my comments.
Next is Representative Yang.
I agree with that. As of right now, from what I see within the legislation, it says at least no cap. So you can add in, marginally add in, extra ideas, but you should also think about this type of legislation is an investigation. You're not working in a committee, you're not working in an investigation. What people said, what people did not, what people put in the ideas. So I think, as of right now, I think on that list, staffing, leave it up to the staffing committee. In terms of the number of amount, I like this number. We can add in more if we need it. We can add in more if there's more people want to join. That's my idea. Also, we should continuously call this investigation and not committee. Otherwise, people will continue to get the wrong ideas.
Do you guys want to respond?
I strongly agree with Representative Yang and Representative Sanchez. I was going to respond to Representative Friedman's amendment, especially regarding the administrative liaison and the representative co-op system. I just want to reiterate that the quarter system doesn't involve the co-op system. They're totally different entities. One's in Greek life, one's in independent living. If we want to address co-op under a streaking and drinking incident, that's another completely different issue to tackle. And then for the administrative liaison, I don't think we need a formal liaison to the administration. I think that if the committee finds it valuable in their investigation to contact the administration, then so be it. I think they should do that. But I do not think that we need a liaison to the administration. I think we need a liaison.
Next on the speaker's list is Representative Johnson. Next is Representative Allison.
I hope that if you have an administrative liaison or not, that you can be very much in contact with the administration. I just want to say that what Representative Yang was saying, it just needs to be codified that it is going to be a discussion. But
yeah.
If the liaison is not, I think I'm going to have a resolution where it has to be going through the steps.
Next is Representative Coffin.
Like this debate has gone now to like whether or not we trust the staffing committee to pick the right composition. But I think that what we should be voting for. So I think that we should be focusing on the parameters that like the student assembly itself sets for picking that composition. So if this bill only, or if the amendment only proposes that there be one freshman, then the staffing committee could only let there be one freshman. So they could have more, but the point of increasing that number would be to make sure, like, that without a doubt, there are more freshmen. So if we find it vital to do that, then we should increase the proportion of freshmen on the investigation at our
committee. I call the question as an amendment.
Second.
So there's been a call to question on the amendment. There's been a second. Is there any dissent on the amendment? If there's dissent, you can have 30 seconds to describe why you think that we're not ready to vote on whether we should end discussion yet. So that means that if we vote on this right now and there is no dissent, there's no dissent, that means we are going to vote about whether we're going to close discussion on the amendment and basically whether or not this amendment is going to happen or not. Cool? Okay. If there is dissent when we are motioning to amend, we have to vote to vote. But people are getting confused with that term, so I'm trying to explain to you guys what it means when we vote to vote. If we say that we're ready to vote on something, that means we can't discuss it anymore. Since I don't see any dissent, I am going to say that we are going to just go right into this placard vote, and if you have your dissent, now is your last opportunity to say it. If we vote yes, because we are not voting to vote, we are just voting. If you say yes now, this will be incorporated into the resolution. If you say no now, this will not be incorporated into the resolution. Does that make sense? We need a two-thirds vote in favor in order for this to pass. If you are in favor of this amendment as written, please raise your placard. If you are opposed to this amendment as written, please raise your placard. If you would like to abstain. By a vote of 1-17-1, this amendment does fail. We are going to go back into general discussion on the resolution as a whole.
Motion to amend.
There's a motion to amend. Is there a second?
No.
Second.
Great. So you can.
I have.
Yes. Go.
Okay. Can I just? So on the end of the "be it finally resolved" clause, I motion to amend. Period. Committee membership will be approved by a majority vote of the staffing committee. This takes into consideration concerns with choosing biased people who already have a decision. It takes into concern composition. We can include all of the discussions we've had now. But, yeah, so it's a new amendment. It doesn't have to be two-thirds. It's on to the end of the "be it finally resolved" clause, and its committee membership will be approved by a majority vote of the staffing committee. Reason being, that's not procedure for ad hoc committees.
Great. So there is a motion on the floor. We are going to discuss this amendment as Matt Henderson just explained it. Does anyone need him to repeat it? No? Okay. If you would like to be on the speaker's list for this amendment.
Motion to vote on this amendment.
Second.
Great. So now we're going to vote on this amendment. If you vote in favor, it will be incorporated. Great. Is there any dissent on voting on this? There really isn't one for ad hoc mini. It's just the nature of it being ad hoc. Great. So we are going to move into voting. If you would like to vote in favor of this amendment being incorporated into the resolution document as written, please raise your placard. Great. If you are opposed to this resolution as written, please raise your placard. If you would like to abstain, please raise your placard. By a vote of 19-0-1, this amendment passes. So now we can move back into general discussion on the resolution as a whole, unless anyone has any extra amendments to make right now. The first person on our speakers list, continuing the speakers list from last week, was Representative Yang. Next on the super list is EVP Batista.
I'm looking forward to seeing what this investigation comes with. I think that most of the student assembly is satisfied with the composition. I just want to ask a direct question just to kind of ease some of the fears, so to speak, from the members. Where are you going to start in the terms of the investigation? I think this is just a good chance for you to explain yourself when I think a lot of people are making assumptions about things.
You guys can respond, it's fine.
So I think, like, where to start, like I said, a lot of this was involved freshmen, so whether or not you survey upper classmen, their moms and when they were freshmen, or freshman class now, how they live for the campus, where they live in college, how they live in the fraternity house, and even more, which is also the case that we have discussed. That's where you get seen by survey,
great. Next on our speakers list is Director of Elections, Anika.
I think this resolution is resting on the assumption that freshmen will stand in. However, it seems to me that do you have any estimate of how many freshmen are leaving permission to play, first of all? And second, if that is the case, and I think it is true that a majority of freshmen cannot legally drink, then whether they drink at Rimsey House or Dom or even in the college town, it still remains to be. So I'm not seeing what benefits will come out of this resolution.
If you guys could hold off, we are going to go through three at a time, like I was explaining before, for the sake of time. Next is VP Warshaw.
On the first page of the results card, you talk about how you're going to present the reporting from May 1st to 15th. So I was wondering if the presentation does get passed, like how you're going to really like work with the committee, like you plan on doing like weekly meetings, like how fast are you going to, like what's your process for the committee, like what do you like see it looking like in the future?
It's April.
Oh, April, sorry.
Next is Representative Alicon. Trying to be strict.
Yeah. So, two questions. One is that expensive. When you were talking about the mentioned the phrase to be voted when you after giving us a comprehensive report. And I was wondering why you wanted to be voted upon beyond the unit something that approve a recommendation, is that what you're asking for, or because there's a lot of, like, for example, in the United States government, we have the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, and it's an independent body, just like what you're saying, just getting a bunch of people from a very, like a variety of different societies together, and looking into specifically and their civil rights issues. But once they submit it, it is then used to in reference and resolutions and things like that, but it doesn't become policy. So I'm wondering, are you asking them to vote on the resolution or on the recommendation? And secondly, another one of the questions, I know that you're in a leadership position in the Greek community, and I was wondering if is it minus one, I think you can sense that out of your view on things. So I just want to make sure how we're going to keep this as unbiased as possible, and how we're not going to make sure that like people who already have a opinion are just reiterating that into a more formalized view of what we're
doing. So I sort of agree. Yes, I am a member of the Chamber of Council. No, not from the election, so I no longer have a stake in that. If not, then we
Moving on through the speakers list, next is Max Weisbrod.
Okay, a couple easy things, I guess, is what is the report going to be named? Because you could de facto be signing off on what is coming out of the commission if they come out with a report that is called the Preliminary Joint SA Tri-Council Report on the quarter system. My point is, we need a name in this document that isn't leading. This is a wrap.
Please. 30 seconds.
Okay, so I think Matt has talked a lot about how we don't want the student assembly name for something so controversial. If it affects so many students, why do we care if it's controversial or not? I think that makes it all the more matter to get involved in it. As student assembly members, I think we should really care about our constituencies. I know we all do. I think we should make the actions that prove that, and I think that we should try to work to make it even better than not perfect.
Touching one thing further on that, it's called calling for an investigation of the quarter system. So with the title of the investigation of the quarter system, I don't think that it's not very elaborate. I don't think the bill is relevant.
Great. Next is Representative Kaufman.
You.
Next is Representative Lisa Liu.
Thank you guys for coming to the conference. I'm sorry.
We are going to do two more people before you guys respond, so sorry about that. Next was Vikram, but he's not here. Representative Titcom. Next is Representative Akili.
I think this is a good resolution because it's important to make changes as the student body to really reflect on how the change affected students. So my only suggestion is to really make this process, this committee very data driven. That's why really like I mentioned statistics of the late night party systems of college time with less supervision. It's got no supervision, and I think it's really important to for something that was lagging for me was RSC Rep David saying that most freshmen he knew just did not know what the quarter system was. So I think the very first thing we should do is have a survey attached to what the quarter system is, and then ask for their opinion on what they think about the topic.
And then lastly, if there's no one from the community who wants to speak, who hasn't spoken before, is Representative Friedman.
Yes, I want to thank you guys for the harness that you guys are planning, the harness that we've attested to here. It's
an issue of public health, it's an issue of harm reduction, it's an issue of responsible government members, right? It's an issue of agriculture, it's an issue of something like that. We could have input on that section too. This is really important that we look into it from a healthy class measure as well. I just have a few questions. I'm going to have a really quick comment on topics. I know that we could have to get an answer to that. The question about process is simply this, that this seems to take place just in the spring semester. It is an investigation of the quarter system. Ideally, it should be able to look at what actually happens in the first two quarters, which is where the majority of the harm measure planning happens. So that and a number of other kind of process-oriented questions, like composition, is really effective, like input about why this is an issue that's being addressed in other ways, why this is the first time that we're formally considering it, things like that. That's helpful to me, right? If we're considering this as like a serious issue that we all have to do. So I really recommend you consider that. I trust our staffing committee at the Board of Planning. I trust a lot in your desire to get things, I just really hope that you pay attention to including people that are affected by it, which is the whole team.
So I'm going to let you guys make one quick response, and then we're going to go into our discussion with President Gordon.
So I'm working towards passing this resolution, but I just don't want to be a part of the investigation committee.
I think this is a great avenue to start, especially for when heavy monitors are in surveys or students in other classes, as well as counsel on the on the drugs. And I think that that's what this resolution would do. It would bring out the investigation from the student body and would allow that group to then reach out to the
Excellent. Thanks, guys. We can come back to this if there's any extra time at the end of the meeting. But for now, let's welcome President Gordon and Dean Hubble. No problem. Do you want to start off by saying something, or should we go straight into questions? That sounds good to me. So if you'd like to be on the speakers list, please just raise your hand so I know, and anyone in the audience can also ask questions. First, how about Rep. Battaglia?
Talking about it, I went around to different shared governance groups and had a chance to talk to the UA earlier this year. governance groups, I believe, are always important, but especially important during the transition. Here's why. We have principals every year, right? The freshmen come in, people graduate, grad students, and faculty come, faculty and staff come, faculty and staff retire. But in general, the continuity of the university is out there in the student body, in the employee ranks. And so I've already shared with the president-elect Garrett, who by the way I think is really going to be terrific, the importance of shared governance in our culture. And so I'm hoping that we actually can develop together in the course of the next few weeks of this semester, the last week of this semester, collectively agreed upon a set of things that we think we should really try to push through to finality right now before my term is over. I'll give you just one example, but I specifically do not want, since it's my third point, I don't want to tell you what the issues are. I want to decide that together. There's a couple that I know from input from the SA and others are on people's minds that I feel responsibility to get as far as we possibly can and hopefully finish. One is to develop a binding memo of understanding for TCAP so that we've already seen that we agree to put these extra funds in, but there may not be a binding written agreement between Cornell and TCAP, and there should be, from my perspective, no reason we can't get that done sooner, considerably sooner than my term is over. And those discussions are going on. And then the additional discussions, transportation services, setting up a task force, and for all I know, maybe some of you have already been asked to be on it, some of the students and staff, faculty, and then we'll talk about the long-term way forward in terms of guaranteeing that there's revenue that we can flow for years. A second issue that I don't believe, obviously, we're going to settle in final form, which I think we can do, we can keep that up on you, is we continue to work really hard on the issue of ways of sexual violence, both prevention and response. And I'm not naive enough to think that we're going to come to closure on this during my term, but I believe we need together to make substantial progress on this. And the Peace Hubble's office, and many other officers on campus, and we are going to have to all help lead that effort. There's many other areas. We heard about a few of them at the student leaders meeting. And so what I'd like to do is I'm asking the leadership of the different shared governance groups to help me come up with a list of things that you think we should try to deploy here during this transition year. Now, things will come up by the nature of the complicated community like ours that we're even thinking about right now, and we'll deal with those and the things that they come up. I'd like to work together with Sarah and the other leaders in five good offices where she thinks the best way to do it, so we can have a collective idea. And from the student leaders meetings that we have, we already have a few issues that are happening. You'll be hearing some feedback about one of those soon. And we'll see how we can do it. The last thing is, it will be important, of course, for the shared governance leaders to get to know President Garrett, President-elect Garrett, before July 1. And I'm not talking about that's going to work because it's her schedule, but in our office and also President Lisa Gander, for example, setting up appointments and so on. And again, for that, through Sarah and the counterparts in the DSAU and the USC, you can decide the pace at which you and the president-elect are going to know of each other's points of view on things. Please be assured that I will turn over to her, actually beginning the conversation we're going to have later this week, what issues I believe are great concern on campus right now. But it's very, very important that the input that she does is not exclusively from me or any other bureaucrat. Should have plenty of that input, but that she gets input directly from the elected representatives of the University of Providence.
And just so everyone knows, we have been in contact with Lisa Yeager, and hopefully, if not the next time President-elect Garrett is in town, but the time after that, we'll have some sort of opportunity to meet her and talk about the big issues. So next is Representative Prison.
There's no question that many things, many decisions that I've made in both presidencies have been based on student motivation, but as well as staff and faculty motivating both. I'm actually happy about that, and you may wonder why they didn't show up when student activists and make things happen. There's really three reasons I think why that really just put it from happens. One is I miss something, or I don't prioritize as high as you do, and I listen to your prioritization and do it. Number two, sometimes there are decisions that are just hard to make, and you help me make a decision by saying that it is so important to you. So, for example, as I mentioned quite openly and publicly, we have about $1 million projected margin this year. Who knows otherwise? We're projecting $1 million margin and $2 billion budget. And so committing to $250,000 and $500,000 was a harder decision for me than you might think. You think, well, that's got to be more money, $2 million has got to be money somewhere. But in fact, the margin showed that it was a hard decision. And I took seriously the student input. And I'm actually happy to say, and I hope I had a fight on the fact that I listened to that. Now, sometimes I always do. Many of the times I do. Another great example of student activism pushing a particular action is the Mexicans that we've done through a COLA intervention having to do with apparel manufacturers and licensees of Cornell University. Every day, from morning till night, 7 days a week, decisions get made or not made by the management file. But in an ideal world, trying to do this is a good idea from one of Sarah's predecessors who brought up 4 years ago. At the student leaders meeting, we're trying at the beginning of the year, every single session that we have, to tell each other what are the issues around the table, even before they come to the point of a resolution, and hoping, as you put it, the changes really occur by us being aware of these. And we're limited in the effectiveness of that by the relatively little amount of time that we have formally talked like this. And so part of the reason I give everybody my private email is that people will go ahead and individuals will have input. And Dr. Murphy set up the system that we've been doing for the whole 8.5 years I've been here at this open student office hours that we advertised. And obviously that's a select group of people who that particular day at that time have the time to come. But we're doing our best, especially for her leadership and to get more input. But there's never enough input. And the one other thing I think can be helpful with the rhythm that you put it, which I've talked about with multiple generations of shared governance groups, is for you to talk to each other across shared governance groups when issues come up. So for example, issues that have to do with the curriculum, the academic calendar. The best thing would be for the SA and the USC or the appropriate community faculty senate or Sarah to be directly talk with each other. And don't have to feel like those conversations have to be through a bureaucratic conduit. I'm glad this is by a conduit, but you should recognize that you are also leaders of the university and therefore have the privilege and right and maybe the responsibility of going right to other shared governance groups. And I encourage the SA and the GPSA to work with the faculty without necessarily involving me, although you could. And the same between the employees and the faculty. And so you want to think about that. But the last point I'll make is the UAB offers an unusual opportunity because everybody has a seat at that table. Employees, both faculty and non-faculty, undergrads, grads. And so, to the extent that you can, and you can through your representative, influence the agenda of the UA, that's also a place that has a particular resonance because it's a collective of our voices in the university.
Next is Max Weisberg.
As a person who uses PCAP, I just want to say thank you to Ms. Gordon and the administration for finding extra funds to meet in 3 years the dollar rise act. And I agree with what has been said about it's not being Cornell's responsibility to pay for the entirety of the PCAP system. I was wondering what is being worked on with the other partners to find extra revenue for PCAP.
This is a real, real critical question. The reason is that the Transportation Services Task Force is being set up. The Transportation Services Task Force is a Cornell internal task force. And so I'm looking to that group to advise us, to advise us on what we can do to guarantee that we'll get that revenue out there without undue stress on the university. I've already pledged that we're going to do it, we're going to sign the MOU, but internally, I want to do that. Now, everything else, it, just as you correctly put it, is a collective discussion among partners. And so, I don't honestly know exactly how we're going to get to that point. I've met with the TCAP board leadership the day that we send that initial notice out that we were meeting and getting somewhere, and then a couple weeks later, whatever notice we sent the actual agreement out. One thing that was brought up was the mortgage recording tax in the county. Maybe analysis on that could be used for operating expenses. I'm not a big expert on the ins and outs of the TCAT operating budget, but there are those who are experts. And we have 30 seats around the board because we're a partner of that magnitude. And so I wish I could give you a straightforward answer now. I can't, but the process by which we'll get it. And that's one of the reasons that one of my responses to the question of what are we going to do this year is we really need to get that wrapped up so it doesn't drag on into the new administration because, President-elect Eric will have many, many issues to deal with. I think this is one that we have to complete together during my term. So keep asking me, we'll keep getting the word out about that. And if you want to stay in contact with anybody here, specifically Sarah, I think the Vice President of Facility Services, T1, the most recently is actually chair of the PCAP board, is the one who will be the most up on exactly where the conversations are. And I believe that he's checking on this. I hope this is accurate. I think it is that Bridget Brady from the Transportation Services is the one who's actually setting up that task force. But you could write to the Vice President Wong, WHANG, and ask them what the status of setting up that task force. And there will be student participation on that. Have you heard anything about that yet, by the way?
Not really. Next person on the speaker list is Yami.
Thank you for coming out again today. So my question is with regards to safety off campus.
I was wondering if the university assumes responsibility for off-campus safety in areas that surround the campus, particularly like College Town and then upper North Campus.
And so this question came up in a different form of the student leaders meeting, having to do with, for example, just only as an example, Greek houses in the village of Cuba Heights. And so it's a complicated answer. The jurisdiction, to use a legal term, depends on exactly what we're talking about. If it's property that the university doesn't own or control in any way, then we depend on colleagues and law enforcement, for example, elsewhere. But obviously, we have a very strong interest. In other areas in which we do have some control and being able to comment on that, we do take it a direct interest. So the importance really is because of the fact that we're such a small, close-knit community, and even on campus is a huge footprint, the students by necessity, because they don't have enough housing for everybody on campus, even if they wanted to all be on campus, we do need to work in a partnership with the municipality governments, the various municipalities, the city, the town, the villages, as well as the police departments, sheriffs, and other law enforcement. And it sounds complicated and messy, and I think honestly it is. And I think that we need to work together and find a way to share the concerns. At the student leaders meeting, for example, questions came up regarding calling for first responder help here and not on campus, undergrad under control by going on. And we're looking into those questions based on, I can't even remember the student leaders meeting every day close, but it's been last week, wasn't it?
It was last Friday.
Last Friday, so yeah. So it's a very important question, and we're working on it. Do you want to add anything?
I would only add that we do work very closely with Pacific Police, and the CAP are joined with us in the DC office as well as the University Health Services. If it comes to serious off campus, even you may know that the judicial administration doesn't have jurisdiction beyond campus. And so, therefore, if something serious happens, something that involves civil violence in particular, the judicial administrator and myself will go to the President's court and request that we send, for the purposes of that incident, the JA's jurisdiction to deal with it. So we're not entirely prevented from dealing with issues that are serious issues here on campus involving our students.
And then one more thing, I know you guys probably get tired of saying this, but it's the preventive actions that we can do that are so much more potent and meaningful than any the most excellent response. And so, for example, the little messages that Steve Weiss, Chief Zoner, puts out on Fridays are intended to share some thoughts about a certain subset of preventive action. Not all preventive actions have to do with things that can be suggested in that message, but that's one. And then other preventive actions, I'm interested to hear your thoughts about things like we talked about with some of the things the student leaders meeting, as well as one issue that was raised that we looked at periodically, in fact, I think we did every single year, is to look at more safety issues on campus. One of the ones that's very commonly brought up is lighting in different parts of the campus. Even where there are blue lights available and so on, there just are some parts of campus that when the days get shorter and whatever, gets gloomier, it's such a depressing thing to say gets gloomier, especially on a day like this. But anyway, we need to constantly review that. And because of a request again at student leaders meeting, I guess it was last Friday, we're reviewing that again now, finding out when the last audit was and what the status of the changes might be. So I think a lot of these same questions continue to occur even right on campus.
Do you have time for a couple more?
Yeah.
Next is Representative Kate.
Hi, President Gordon. So my question is regarding the announcement last month of the Gage Cordon. I think that speaks for all students when I say we are incredibly excited about this announcement and really appreciate what opportunity the Ironman family has given us. So my question is, how do we strike a balance between
to seemingly at odds convince the island at the university, which is during our limited fixed time here as students, we have two commitments. The first being a study abroad commitment to be signed by the generation study abroad commitment to double the number of Cornelians who study abroad engagements in the next 5 years. And at the same time, we have a commitment to New York State. Cornell being founded as a land grant commission. So my question is, there are 200 countries out there, but there are also 62 countries in New York State. Where should engage Cornell future initiatives strike a balance between these two commitments, and also what are some examples of engagements you'd like to see for engage Cornell?
So it's such a good question, and there's no answer to it. Here's why there's no answer, because there's too many things out there to do very time that any one of us has available. And the need, even in one community, even in this community that we call home, are mammoth, and these are mammoth. Even though some aspects of the American economy have bounced back a lot, and employment is down from where it was at its peak, a lot of people are struggling economically. So that aspect of engagement that has to do with outreach and service of various kinds, I'm afraid will outstrip anything that we can do. Other aspects of engaged learning could involve experiential learning that really has to do with combining some sort of activity away from campus with the learning experience. So, for example, one was brought up to me in a meeting with faculty was opportunities for students to participate in archaeological digs. And there's a way to learn something, generate the knowledge firsthand, and perhaps be in another part of the world to do it, in this particular case, far away from Ithaca. And then there are the tried and true things that you all do every year here at the public service center, into the streets, alternative spring break, all those kinds of things. But the real quandary is exactly what you put your finger on, that it's a paradox in multiple dimensions, that students tell me all the time, I'm in a curriculum that's very demanding, whatever it might be, curriculum X, and it's going to be hard for me to get away for, say, a meaningful semester away, and still complete my education within the right time frame. But some students are finding a way to do it. And so my use of the bully pulpit, whatever you want to call it, is that we have a world full of needs. We have students who are, I believe, listening to you all, are hungry to combine more engagement and real world experience with that curriculum here. And I think we need to push each other to find ways to take advantage of this unbelievable generosity of this Cornell family, both husband and wife class in 91, and sort of see where we go. If you want to talk more about this, and it's a very, very exciting initiative, and if Sarah thought it was worthwhile, you might ask Vice Provost of Langer, as well as Judy Appleton, to come to an SA meeting or in some other fashion. She's the one in charge of overall engaging Cornell. Vice President Ford Brown is involved, and Vice President Murphy, Dean Hubble, and many others, but I think a single person who's going to be most in charge of it is Vice Provost Appleton, and that might be worthwhile. It is actually great that it's generating a lot of conversation, but it's just like the question of what constitutes a meaningful international experience in terms of getting to that doubling from 26% to 50% roughly. Meaningful international experiences. We need to have this dialogue before we can decide. So think about having Appleton here and tell me what you think right now.
Do we still have time for one more?
One more, maybe.
Next is Lindsay.
Thank you, President Gordon, and Hubble for speaking with us tonight. So my question is, we talk a lot about sexual violence prevention and awareness, but I was wondering what the university has done to address the issues of domestic violence and
abuse. So, domestic violence of a wide variety of types is a very difficult issue that ranges from child abuse, elder abuse, spousal issues and many other things. And like a lot of forms of violence, we tend to see, I believe, as a physician, someone who's been mandatory reporter at various times in my career, and theoretically still am, I think we always get the tip of the iceberg of what's actually happening. It's very, very hard to come forward and share the horrendous experience of being a survivor of violence, of anything. And so, number one, I don't think we have, at least I don't have, a real complete three-dimensional idea of what we're dealing with. The university has for employees, for example, the faculty staff assistance program, which is a program that helps with listening, directing individuals to resources, actually supplying some of those resources directly, and if the person wishes, directing them to law enforcement and other issues. But there is a stigma, in my experience, like there is about anything in the private, of coming forward, and it can be based on fear of oneself being judged and somehow responsible for what's gone backwards. People feel, I must have something wrong to have been a survivor of this kind of thing. There's a stigma of feeling like I don't want to let people know that we're having some issue. And so I'm so grateful to you for bringing it up. And I think the most important thing we need to do in areas in which there's a stigma is to talk about it, is to talk about it openly. And I wanted to comment on a piece of this a couple of days ago. I went to him exactly what day it was, and maybe yesterday, a column having to do with mental health issues as a stigma. I was very moved by that column and I dropped a quick note to the author. I think it's very important that we push hard to bring things out in the open. I've done that in some films I've made here for now and other things, acknowledging stress that I had in my own life. And it's a rare individual. It's a rare individual that goes through a lifetime, sometimes even at your age, and doesn't run into some of those stresses. So I think it's good you brought it up. If you want to talk about this more, I'm at your service. I think the faculty staff is just for their maybe the most logical thing.
Gabriel? Gabriel, yes.
I guess that's it. If you are out of time, but thank you so much on behalf of all of us for coming today. And seeing that it is
in the table resolution 25 to next week.
So there's been a motion to table resolution 25 to next week. Is there a second? I'm just going to allow that to go through because I think that we're past our meeting time anyway, and I think it would be best to adjourn at this time. But I am going to ask that SA members do not run away because we told you guys that there's a quick executive session. It's 5 minutes. And then we can all convene for dinner in the Ivy Room. Anyone who's in the audience is also welcome to join us. But we are going to ask if you are not an assembly member to please let us have this time. And thank you so much for coming tonight.
This has been a production of Cornell University. Take care,
everyone.
On the web at cornell.edu.